Now, it's real good to see all of you, but it's good to see the children as well. We certainly appreciate that. Sometimes folk don't even recognize our children, but we're delighted to see them. Trust the Lord will bless you, each one. Now, I have three scriptures to read for you tonight and with you. And the first one is found in Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. And I'm going to read one verse here. The subject tonight is preservation. That's what we want to talk about. Now here's what Solomon said. Verse 23 of Proverbs 4. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Now I want to read that again. It's a very important verse. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. John's Gospel now for the next one, chapter 17. John's Gospel 17. This is the prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ on the eve of him going to the cross. Look at what he says in verse 12. He's talking to the Father. Verse 12, John 17. While I was with them in the world, that's his disciples, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Look at verse 15. We see the emphasis on kept. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world. That's his own. But that thou shouldest keep them from the evil one. I'm going to read one other scripture now. 1 Thessalonians, please, chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5. And I'm just going to read one verse here. This is Paul talking to this young assembly. Verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice the order here. Your spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Preservation, that's the subject. Now I want to take that thought out of each of these scriptures. I won't take time tonight to give you the interpretation, but the Word of God is living. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, and it can convey a message to any of us. Now we want to give a balanced ministry tonight. And I want to say that it is a pleasure to see all you dear folk here. And we want to just teach you some of the basic, simple principles of the Holy Bible. Now here's the way I'm going to start. I met an individual a few weeks ago in another country. Never met the man in my life. He wasn't in assembly fellowship, but he was a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he asked me, what is greater than being saved by the grace of God and know it? And I suggested to him, being preserved from that moment until now. See, it's a miracle that every one of us with a story of grace to tell, how, when, and where we met the Savior, It's an absolute miracle, only by the grace of God. But it's a bigger miracle, a greater miracle, to be preserved on the way to heaven. Here's the next thing I want to talk about. And I'm speaking now on the Western civilization and the English-speaking world. And since I was here last, we have been in many places. And we thank God for every believer and for every assembly and for every family that's continuing to be preserved and also in the work of God. We're living in an age of mighty changes. Everywhere we have gone, I'm absolutely astounded at the changes that are taking place. So we thank God for the positive, everyone that has been preserved and kept to this point. However, on the negative side, there are several. And for whatever reason, they're not going on tonight. They're likely saved, but they haven't been preserved. I'll just give you one simple example, and then we'll turn to the scripture. I met this individual thousands of miles from here, and for years they were in assembly life. And they give a valued contribution. But sadly, they dropped out of the race. They're far away tonight from God and from the assembly. I thought I would venture a question, and I asked them, how come that you've come to this stage in your life? I want you to listen to what this person said. I have one comment to make, and it is, I got into bad company. See, that's what 1 Corinthians 15 says. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Now, there's always a way back. Always, for every believer. But sadly, this individual is far away. So none of us know what's ahead. We can only thank God for being preserved to this point. But ahead, there could be all kinds of changes. So, I want to take the first scripture out of its context and quote it to you. It was a sovereign that quoted these words, directed by the Spirit of God, Solomon. He says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Now that's a responsibility that every believer has. And it's likely that in the early part of his life, he wrote that down. If he had adhered to that himself, he wouldn't have got away from God. So think of the words of a sovereign. I want to put alongside that the words of the Savior. He's on his way to the cross. It's one of the audible prayers of the Gospels in his public ministry. And in front of him on that occasion, there are 11 true men. And he lifts his eyes to his Father in heaven. And he has several requests to make, but he makes this one. Here's the bottom line. He says, Father, I don't want you to take these people out of the world, but I want you to keep them from the evil one. See, the moment we were saved, we're ready for heaven. But God had other things in mind, and the Lord Jesus had it. He's leaving them. He says, whenever I was with them, I kept them through thy word. Now he wants the Father to keep them from the evil one. I tell you, those men likely never forgot it. Then I want to go to another statement here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. These are the words of a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul himself. He wrote 13 epistles in the New Testament that bear his name. And throughout his writings, you can see this directly or indirectly. He had a burden. He had a concern that the people of God would be preserved and kept, and the assemblies as well, and the families of the Lord's people. And so he's asking these dear souls that they be preserved, spirit, soul, and body, be preserved blameless, irreproachable, until the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not going to read the other examples, but I want to show you from the scriptures how we can be preserved. I don't want to be negative. I want to be positive tonight. And I want to notice that we need to be preserved, first of all, in our families. The backbone of every assembly, families. And then I want to talk about laboring in the service of God. And we need to be preserved. And lest I forget to tell you, it's not just younger people that it's happening to. But I look back now over 60 years in assembly life, and there's dear brethren older and younger than I am, and they went well for years, but somehow or other they've fallen out by the way. No wonder Psalm 16 says, "Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust." Put it to you another way. I asked a young man here recently that is involved in a number of infringements in the assembly. And I'm his friend. And I said to him kindly, I said, "Brother, all things being considered equal, if the Lord doesn't come for 5 years, where do you see yourself?" Now here's his answer. "I see myself and my wife outside the assembly fellowship." We can ask that to any of us. Can you see the importance? Saved, baptized, in the assembly, ready for heaven. But on the way to it, we could fall out by the way. Now I want to take first of all the family. An illustration of the family. And I want to go to Abraham's family. Old Testament. From Genesis chapter 11, right through to chapter 25, when he was taken into eternity, Abraham. Now, I won't go over all their history, but I want to show you that here's a man called Lot, and he's younger, I take it, than his uncle. And those different scriptures show that as long as Lot stayed with Abraham, he went well. See, that's the power of influence. If those that have influenced us more than anybody else were outside our lives, how do we do? Please think of what I'm talking about. They were together for a while, but one day they came to the parting of the ways. That's Genesis chapter 13. Abraham gave Lot the first choice. And really, he's saying to him, if you go west, I'll go east. And if you go east, I'll go west. That passage shows that Lot, his eyes were toward Sodom and the cities of the plain. And one day he said goodbye to Uncle Abraham. Now, as soon as that influence was out of his life, it was all downhill. I'll summarize his history. He pitched his tent towards Sodom, and one day he arrived there with his wife and his family. Abraham was content with his altar, linked him with heaven, and lived for almost 100 years in a tent that linked him with earth. But this man wasn't satisfied with that. And everything that he wanted in life, he lost. Abraham gained what Lot lost. He lost his possessions. He lost his posterity. He lost his partner. He lost his power of influence. And he lost his purity. I want all of us to think tonight. It's on my heart to talk to you about this. I had a meal with the brother that's now gone home to heaven, Brother Robert Lee. And every time we met, he had this burden. He says, we want to see the families of God's people preserved. And those that are not saved to be brought in. And he wants to see the assemblies preserved. There's a man 91 years of age talking. All through the years, he wasn't a public man, but he knew God and he knew his word and he knew the order of the day and what was required. Now somebody says, what lessons can we learn from Abraham and Lot? Well, you see, Lot was a family man. So was Abraham. Now, if we're going to see the rising generation among us preserved and kept, well, from the children, we'll start with the children. From the children are young. We need to train them. And we need to teach them the Word of God. And we have to be reasonable. No point, as I tell them, reading half of Psalm 119 before they go to school, for example. That's not on. But we need somewhere in the 24 hours to bring them together to read the Word and to pray with them and to tell them what God wants. Now let me qualify this. I've been through it myself. You see, the infant one day will become an adolescent. And later down the road, they'll become adults. And they have to make their own choices. And every choice has a consequence. And we mourn that some of our families are far away from God tonight. Now the father and mother can't beat themselves over the head and say, we failed. Yet, we have a responsibility to bring them up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. See, it's a two-way street. Here's another thing. as parents or as grandparents, are we putting the salvation of our children or our grandchildren first? The demands of 2018 are totally amazing. And we're all involved. And in the general picture, from early morning to late at night, there's very little time to train our children. Now you see, 2 Timothy chapter 3 tells us that from a child Timothy knew the Holy Scriptures, from an infant is the word, that are able to make them wise unto salvation. Now every child has a different personality. Now parents need to know how to handle that. It's not just stereotyped everybody the same. And as we grow older in life, we can see it all the way. So we have an unbounded responsibility to see our families preserved and kept. And in general terms, those that hear the gospel from day one, all things being considered equal later down the road, saved by the grace of God. Now, there's no guarantees. Some dear people think that our family will be saved through brother so-and-so. Well, we want to tell you the preacher doesn't have salvation in his pocket. All this preacher can do is announce the tidings, or the Sunday school teacher, or whoever. So I want to just get across to you tonight. Everything that's positive, we thank God. But we're very concerned about what's happening. And we're losing in certain areas our families. And I ask myself all the time, I wonder why. I'm sure Abraham and Lot had many talks. Now there's other examples in the scripture. I'll just refer to one. See, in 2 Chronicles chapter 24, there's a king there called Joash. He was young. He had the responsibilities of the kingdom. But Jehoiada was the high priest in his day. And as long as Jehoiada was with him, he went well. That's the power of influence. What happened when he died? Well, his son, Jehoiada's son, came to the king and told him the truth in certain matters. And the man was so annoyed, he arranged for the demise of the son of Jehoiada, and he slew him. Now just get that point as we leave it. The power of influence. All of us, as we look back over life, we thank God for the power of influence of others, or we wouldn't be here. Now let's leave that for a minute or two. I want to talk now for a minute about the service of the Lord. And again, we thank God for our endeavors, whether it's in the homelands or across the seas. And everything that's positive, we want to thank God from our hearts. And people have been saved. We have even seen several this year in different parts of the world, saved by the grace of God. But I want to tell you that in 2018, there are mighty changes all around. And in the service of God, sadly, we're losing out. And some are trying to take us the wrong way. Now I want to give you the antidote to that. And I want to just give you an example. Here's an older prophet called Elijah. Now I'll just pick up the points that you need to know. One day, he was told by God to go and anoint Elisha, the younger man, the younger prophet, to take his place. Now, if the dates in the Bible are right, approximately 10 years, you hear nothing about Elisha or Elijah. But one day, Elijah is sitting under a juniper tree with his head between his knees, and he asks the Lord to take away his life. That's an unanswered prayer of the Bible. God wouldn't allow him to die. He went into eternity without dying. No. Here's how the work of God can be preserved. Here's an illustration. One day, Elijah seemed to sense that his service was almost over. And he meets the younger prophet, Elisha. Now we're into 2 Kings chapter 2. And the older prophet is saying to the younger prophet, now I'm going to a place called Gilgal. And it would seem that the older prophet thought that the younger prophet wouldn't go. But the younger prophet, Elisha, says, well, I'm going too. Now you notice the desire in the older prophet and the desire in the younger prophet to be together. What is going to preserve the work of God in that day, and the principles are the same with us, when Elijah is taken home to eternity? Well, I'm going to suggest to you that the older man wanted to share with the younger man how he proved God in his own life. And that's why he started at Gilgal. And Gilgal means the cutting off of the flesh. And the older man likely told the younger man, if you're going to be effective in the work of God and going to be preserved, you better understand that in every heart there's an evil principle. And that's the tendency to go wrong. But the Holy Spirit of God is the one that allows us to overcome that. From Gilgal, they go to Bethel, house of God. Now I understand in the Old Testament, there are no New Testament assemblies the way we know them. But the principle is the very same. House of God. God dwells there. And the older man brings the younger man to the very place where he had known God in earlier years, and he proved to him how he could be preserved. That's what we need to do. Now, they didn't stay there. The next place they go to is Jericho. And as we all know, Jericho is the city of the curse. And the older man would tell the younger man, I have been around here. And this world that we're living in is under the curse through sin. Maybe he told them, it doesn't say, maybe he told them the story of Achan and how he met his demise because of his desires. You see, we're in an atmosphere and in a society and in a world that doesn't believe in God. And it's so easy for a servant of the Lord or anybody involved in the work of God, whatever level, to go wrong. Now then, the last place they went to was Jordan. And that passage shows us the two of them went to Jordan. Jordan speaks of death. And that severs us from this life. See, the man Elijah was likely at Jordan before this. And he's maybe saying to him, now listen, Elisha, this is the day that I'm leaving. So how can we see the work of God preserved? I would suggest that older brethren and sisters see who's coming on in any given assembly or family or whatever, and share with them how you have proved God and how you have learned the scriptures and how God in his grace has used you for the furtherance of the work of God. And I'll just give you some personal things. I've told you, I'm 61 years saved. An older man took me aside as a young man and showed me how to read my Bible and how to learn God and how to serve God. And those dear men, that generation are all gone home to heaven, and younger men are left. The Lord be not come, we're not here to stay. We're only passing through. How are we going to preserve the work of God in our day and generation? To see it mature and develop. Well, the older and the younger are together. The older has a desire to help the younger, and the younger have a desire to learn. See, I was in one assembly not too long ago, and I asked the dear brethren who were taking responsibility. They were almost at the end of life. And I said to them, is there anybody here that you could encourage to help in the work of God? And both of them said, we have plenty of younger folk, but they have no desire. Well, I said to them, brethren, have you tried? Have you taken time out of your busy schedule to bring them home and talk to them? Nobody said a word. The day arrived when both of them were taken home to heaven, and there were very few available to take up the responsibility in the assembly. That's how it works. See what I've told you? Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. That's where the source is. Now, I want to come to the assembly. And I want to, there's several examples, but I'm just going to take one. And if the Lord be not come, any of us, any given assembly in any country of the world, whatever the culture or the color of skin or whatever, how will our assemblies gathered to the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ be preserved? Well, right away, we'll take the example of Paul and Timothy. I'll just quote you one verse. You see, Paul is leaving for heaven, 2 Timothy 2. In a few days at the most, his service is over. He says to the younger men, Timothy. Now he says, Timothy, you have got to take on board to remember what I have taught you in the mouth of many witnesses. There was no greater teacher in the New Testament apart from Christ as Paul. You all know that. Now he says, Timothy, I want to tell you something more. The truth that you learned, you have an unbounded responsibility to teach others. And when they get the truth of God, They have to teach the next generation. This is basic. But if our assemblies are going to be preserved for the glory of Christ, we need to take on board this very point. Now, the Bible doesn't say exactly when Timothy was saved, but I'm going to suggest to you that he was saved in Paul's first missionary journey when he came to those assemblies in southern Galatia. Acts chapter 14. How do you know? Well, in the 1 Timothy chapter 1 and in 2 Timothy chapter 1, he calls them my genuine child in the faith. And maybe he was used to see the man saved. Come to chapter 16, some years have passed. The young man is well reported off by several assemblies. And the young man has been raised by the Spirit of God to move into the Lord's work. See, that's exactly what Paul did. Paul and Barnabas were another couple. And they continued in Acts chapter 11, for example, in Antioch, Syria, for around 12 months. And in chapter 13, they were commended to the work of God. That's what the Holy Spirit said. Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work for two I've called them. And they let them go. You see, dear brethren, please notice, here's scriptures to show that we commend in a work. We don't commend to a work. And Timothy was a proven young man. You know what Philippians 2 says? I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. Now, if the work of God was going to be preserved in Paul's day, it's the same principles in our day. You see, this young man set himself out to please the Lord and to help others. How do you know? Well, the New Testament tells us that Paul sent them to four assemblies. First of all, Thessalonica. What happened there? Well, there was a number of people were bereaved. Young believers were taken home. They were all upset. Who did Paul select to go there? Young Timothy. He knew how to handle bereavement in a young assembly. See, Philippians 2 says that he sent them to Philippi. And that was a model assembly in many ways. But in chapter 4, there are two sisters in there, and they're at variance. It's a very difficult thing to handle. Timothy was likely involved and how to handle that situation. See, it's bad enough for two brethren to get up against each other. See, when you get sisters up against each other, I've had a little experience. I know all about it. The Lord help us and direct us to handle it. I'm showing you how the work of God continued. Paul recognized he wouldn't do it all himself and he was soon going to leave. You know another thing? He sent them to Corinth. There were people in Corinth in the assembly and they were carnal. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Paul said to them, he said to the Corinthians, he says, I couldn't speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal. And people say they're unbelievers. No, it says in Christ. Anybody in Christ is saved by the grace of God. I tell you, there were some carnal individuals in that assembly. Well, in chapter 16 of 1 Corinthians, he sent Timothy. Imagine, to handle some of these situations. How was the work of God going to continue? Well, younger men were involved in fellowship with older. Then, of course, he sent them to Ephesus. outstanding assembly. Likely one of the strongest in the New Testament. A mighty work for God was done. It says in 1 Timothy chapter 1, he says, I'm sending Timothy here that he charges some that they teach no other doctrine. No wonder he said in 1 Timothy chapter 4, let no man despise thy youth. Now, he wasn't a teenager. The Bible doesn't say what age he was. But I noticed recently that some of our writers are telling us that there was approximately 25 years between Paul and Timothy. And if Paul at this stage was in his 60s or middle 60s when he was taken, that brings him down to around 40. He had little experience. Now imagine stepping into assembly where there were people with wrong doctrine. Fanatical they were. We have met that. These people would get onto a hobby horse and they would eat it and sleep it and do everything about it and promote it. Paul says, now listen, you've got to charge these people that they teach no other doctrine. Somebody says, what was their evil doctrine? Well, 2 Timothy 2 tells you. These people right there, they were teaching that the resurrection of Christ had passed and that resurrection as a general subject had passed. That's not right. The Lord Jesus Christ rose on the first day of the week and went back to heaven. 1 Corinthians 15 is very clear and all the rest of it. And yet it says in that very chapter of 2 Timothy chapter 2, the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle. See, when wrong doctrine comes to an assembly, it takes great wisdom to handle it in the fear of God. Now, can't you see the message? Paul, likely in his middle 60s, was taken home to heaven, and Timothy has left. And there was a great group that he had to carry on the work of God. And we need to do the same. That's why we're constantly on the outlook for young married couples, young men and young women, to encourage them and to train them and to teach them the work of God. What do you think of this truth? You see, then the individual, we sung it there in that second hymn. We need to have a heart in divine things. Some folk, all they do is they see it as a duty. But if our assemblies are going to be preserved, and if our families are going to be preserved, and if the work of God is going to be preserved, these examples from the scripture would need to be adhered to. I'll tell you one more thing before we stop. Here's another pair in assembly life. One man's called Barnabas. Did ever you ask yourself in Acts chapter 11, how did he know to go to Tarshish to bring the young man Saul? That was a teacher. I knew the word of God even at that time. Now here's a suggestion. The Bible doesn't say this, but Ananias and Barnabas were friends. And Ananias was the man that told the young convert, he's only 3 days on the way to heaven. He's a chosen vessel. And he will bear the message to the nation of Israel and the nations of earth and to monarchs and to suffer great things for his name's sake. Now watch. Barnabas was the one that had the initiative. If he's going to see the work of God prosper and develop, and the assembly established in Antioch, Syria, the younger man would have a part. Now one day, as I've indicated, they were both commended to the Lord's work. But as you go down through some of these chapters, the order of the names changed. Barnabas and Paul. And then it was Paul and Barnabas. You see, the pupil sometimes passes the teacher. And sometimes our beloved brethren don't want to share what they have gleaned with others for whatever reason. Now let me point this out to you before we stop. You see, Paul he was the author of at least 13 epistles. I'm not counting Hebrews. Barnabas never got the chance to write one. So the pupil passed the teacher. That's what we want. That younger men and younger married couples and younger sisters in their own sphere will pass us in spiritual experience. That the work of God will be preserved till Jesus comes. Let me just refer to these three verses. We have to close. It's 8 o'clock. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Now that's the words of a sovereign king. Here's the words of the Lord Jesus, the Savior. Father, don't take them out of the world. Keep them in the world. Keep them from the evil one. Servant of the Lord, Paul himself, that spirit, soul, and body will be preserved blameless until the coming again of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now we've said enough. Think it over. And if you don't agree with the ministry, listen to how you would handle it. The Lord bless you all for coming. We'll